Because we talk about this with the kids. Like, Mom, how do I know I heard from God? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, it'll bear witness with your spirit. I don't know what that means. You know? So it's like, well, does it feel in your gut? Does it feel like, or does it feel like,
start there.
Well,
yeah.
Felt like
we need a dictionary for those kind of phrases, right?
Yeah, and it's like it felt like just like tight in my belt, like it like hurt, like somebody punched you in the gut. Like, well, that don't do that, you know? And so it was interesting because my daughter came home like super excited. There's this movie that came out recently, and there was like a phrase in it. We've never seen the movie, but the kids, apparently, everybody in the class saw It's Up Us. And everybody kept quoting it. It was like one of those phrases, like abracadabra. Oh, you know, one of those. It's like it was like some kind of a witchcraft incantation.
Shazam?
I don't know.
There's this
but they
movie
all
that's
kept
out.
Like
oh,
shouting
so
it during recess. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, and I instantly felt in my gut, like, don't say that. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, don't say that. She's like, but there was nothing seemed wrong with that word. Right. She's like, but it felt like. In my gut.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's and opening then, some doors.
Yeah. The principal came when they heard that. The principal came running. She said, stop that right now. I mean, she like got onto the whole class. Mm. And she's like, and that was a confirmation for me, Mom.
Wow.
That was the Holy
Ghost.
That's awesome. And so it's like, you learn that, you know? Like, and you know how they say, like, let peace be your guide? Mm-hmm. And I always thought, like, what does that mean? But it is, like, because God comes with peace.
Right.
It's like, if you're facing with two, one will be like a peaceful way. And you're like, that's the way.
Yeah.
So it is. It's that release, that easy feeling in your gut. I don't know how to put it. Like, how would you explain that to your kids?
Out of your innermost being.
Yes.
So flow, rivers of living water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to add a little bit. So like, let's say, okay, so I have three kids. When I speak to my kids, actually, my intention is so they could hear me. Like, I don't want to be, like, confusing. Like, hey, go clean. Yeah, did you get that? My point is so they would hear me clearly. And I think God, he's similar. Like, he doesn't want to, like, confuse us and, like, twist it or somehow. He wants to be clear. And his goal is to speak to us clear. And as children, our goal should be to hear him clearly. And now when two people are working together, it should work. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be like, you know, the simplicity of Christ. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be like, there's somewhere there and only the very spiritual get it. You know, I think it's his, you know, simplicity of Christ.
That's a great point.
A few times God spoke to me and it was so clearly, so obviously it's not somebody's voice. I knew it God.
Right.
And then I see the results, I see what he is saying, and once I was telling to my kids, God is gonna speak to you. So now, be ready for that, to say yes, because the foolishest thing to say to God, not. So now you listen Bible, you learning everything about God, his character, you getting lessons. But then will be a test for you. You already know what to do, how to do, and God is be in front of you with the questions. Do it for me. And tell to God, yes.
That's good.
I love that. A lot of what we're saying is like you're talking about them understanding she felt feeling in her spirit. I feel like if you are, it goes back to like being in the Word, right? So if you are in a state of peace, you know what that feels like. Then you know when something is wrong. It comes along like, you know, like I heard someone say, people that deal with counterfeit money, right? They don't sit there and spend so much time trying to learn the different ways of counterfeit.
Right.
They don't study the counterfeits. What they do is they study the original so well that they just, like my mom worked in banking. She counts money like, shh, in her hand. And she's like, literally, I'll be doing this. Oh. With her finger, she instantly feels it because she knows the original so well. She's dealt with it. She's touched it. She's smelled it. She's, done it for years. So I think the same thing is for us, it goes down to knowing his voice. It goes to back to the Word of God, right? If you, like for instance, you got to get to know that person. You can't trust someone you don't know. So if we're talking about trusting God, we have to know who he is. So we get into the Word of God. And the second thing is when the voice starts coming and it starts talking differently, we instantly know something's off. Like if someone was to tell me that Tim told me he would leave me if I do this ever again, then I'd be like, he would never say that.
Yeah, right.
My husband would never say those kind of words. don't, it's not even in his vocabulary.
Right.
I would know that they're lying because my husband never speaks that way. So the same way when we start knowing his voice as he's talking to us in the word, how he talks to people, when someone says something like, that is not my father. That's not my father's voice.
And
I cannot accept that.
And even like,
that's
okay,
good.
Let's say, okay, you guys met our dad, right? Mm-hmm. Well, sisters, both sister and two brothers. That's my dad. If I was to explain to you my mom's voice, well, it's like that and like that, I don't think you guys would recognize my mom between a thousand moms, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think
by
it's
description.
Very...
That's
by the
right.
way, this just kind of came to me. That's
cool. Pull it.
I mean, I probably heard it somewhere, but I guess that's what it says in Bible that, you know, we learn the truth and the Holy Spirit reminds us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's you got to learn things to remind, to be reminded.
So
that's
here
good.
We're all trying to describe what it's like to hear God's voice.
It's going
to
be hard.
But at the end of the day,
it has to be you.
In my experience, when God was talking to me, before that or during that, I was embraced with God. I feel his hug. I feel his presence.
Yeah.
It's like all my universe filled up with God. There is no other room for anything else.
Wow.
God talking to me immediately.
Yes.
It's and attesting. Oh, it matches with everything, right? With Bible, with everything.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
One more thing that's really I learned. I heard this. Some Hollywood producer defected from Hollywood and went into Christianity, repented basically. Yeah. And he was exposing all this stuff, how you know some of the scripts are written with you know collaboration with some demonic, whatever.
Mm.
And I'm like, God, I want to do something to counter those movies and all that. And God told me that, don't do that. Do what I tell you, because devil is already countering what God is doing.
Mm.
So what's the point of countering the counterer, you know?
Right.
So world is full of lies. World is, who is the prince of the world? The devil is. And in John somewhere, it says that he does not know the truth. He doesn't receive the truth. If he could receive the truth, he would receive me because I'm the truth, Jesus is saying. But he's made of not truth, you know?
There's no truth
he knows,
in him.
He thinks truth is a lie. And he thinks his lies are the truth. He is that deceived. So if we study, if we try to figure out all the wrong stuff, there is even a, if you study the dark, something, if you study like the dark or the whatever, you will basically just join it.
Yeah.
If for example, let's say, I don't know, Vova and I are, let's say one of us is very deceiving, the other one is very honest. When deceiving and honest fight, and deceiving does not give, if the honest will start trying to counter his deception, slowly he becomes deceiving. You see what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
So we just can't. We just can't go into that. And the only way
to...
We
can't go down to their level.
We can't. Yeah, that's right. So we can't. During Corona, why don't you study all these things and don't understand them? You could help people. Well, if I'm in a swamp with you and I pull you, I get down. You pull me, you get down. You know, if I'm on a solid rock and I pull you, I can pull you out. So we can't all be in the swamp, you know? Okay, so this leads me to this thought. How do we get into the Word of God in a way where we don't just read, because atheists read and dissect it and find all the wrong things and never repent, or, you know? How do we read the Word of God that we fall in love with it? How do we... How? Maybe you guys could share some of your experience. Why did you start reading the Word of God? How did it become alive to you? You see, can you go back? I don't know how far back you have to go.
Actually, I got, I think, prompted from the Holy Spirit to talk to this guy. He was a friend of mine from years ago. And he was a youth pastor. He regularly preached in a huge church in California. And then about 8 years ago, he became an atheist. And every once in a while, I kind of remember him, and then I start talking to him. And just recently, he came to my mind, and I started talking to him. And at first I started throwing all these arguments out there for why God exists and so on. And then I realized it's not about arguments. He chose to close himself to the truth and to stop seeking truth, because atheism is anti everything. It's disproving God's existence. It's disproving the accepted truth. They're not offering even anything. They're not offering an alternative. They're just disproving. And so we have to stay open. So you have to stay open, and you can only stay open if you're humble. So yeah. he closed himself off to seeking the truth, and then pride came in, and then his heart became hardened. And then he's stuck, right. Basically. So it all comes down to humility.
Atheist, this movie, we just saw a movie, but it doesn't matter, with kids. God's Not Dead. It's a good movie. Yeah. He said something like Theos, I think, is God, and A against or counter. So if you fight with a person that fights whatever you say, it doesn't matter what you say, he'll fight it. So there is no logic, there is no amount of anything, because his goal or his thing that he's got, the only thing he's got, is to fight what you're saying. No matter how much logic you throw at him, no matter how much or how many arguments, no matter. So what do we do? I like what Bonnke says. Holy Spirit is the only one that can dissemble that logic and pierce through it.
Right.
Because the way Jesus was answering was not always logical to how Pharisees asked the question, but it was disarming them.
Right.
You know? And it was some kind of a divine logic. So that's it. So we're coming back to knowing Holy Spirit, you know. And again, we cannot logically convince anybody.
And again, it's humility. If you have humility, then you're open to hearing.
Yeah.
And then your goal is to get to know God more. Not just read the word, the text, but actually get to know God more. And you can be a proud atheist and read the Bible, and he probably knows it better than I do. But he's not open. His heart is hardened.
Well, so when you said humility, you meant also on his side. And if there's no humility on his side,
he's not.
It's
done.
Basically
his heart is hardened. He can't receive. He can only receive the text. He can't receive the spirit of the text.
Mm-hmm. Teacher. okay. I had an experience. This is a practical experience. I have this nephew who is baits us, or who used to bait us all the time to argue about. He's, you know, he actually laughs at Christians. So not just atheists, but I mean he literally laughs at them.
He eventually gets to that point.
Yeah. So he used to try to bait us to argue with him. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to argue about it. So he would say something. So God showed me, gave me a spontaneous thought. And so the last time he did that was years ago. And he asked me something. And I knew he was baiting me. It was one of those questions where you could never give the right answer, right? And so I just looked at him. And I didn't answer him. I just, oh, by the way, this guy is, my nephew is very large person. Not fat. He's like muscles and, you know, just he's huge. He's scary. Anyway, so I just looked at him and I didn't answer him. And I just went up to him, put my arms around him. And I said, I love you, Brad. And he has never since that day, ever. And that was Mm-hmm. That was maybe 7 or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's just, I love
him. And we've been loving him ever since, and he hasn't done that. He's been very respectful.
And we just, and it's just like, you know what? That is the one thing that will break down everything. You just love them in Jesus' name. See, and we loved him. He knew that we didn't love him because we approved of his lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
He knew that's right. Loved him.
That's right.
And Jesus, Holy Spirit, in us does love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we were just being ourselves.
Yes.
So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I'll second that because my brother-in-law is the same way. He grew up in a Christian family. His father is a pastor. And he actually, you know, gave sermons and did all of that. And then finally came out and said, hey, I'm an atheist. And at the end of the day is because he saw a lot of religion, not love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And he would also ask questions. He was very smart. He read a lot of books, and he probably knew the Bible at that time way better than I did. And he would like to debate. Like, my sister would say, oh, he likes to play the devil's advocate. He likes to debate. He just wants to get in a debate. And I was like, I found myself constantly losing to his debates. And the Lord's like, just love him. Just love him.
Right.
And it's been years. I am his favorite person. I am literally his favorite person. He's like, when are you coming to town? Are you going to stay with us? And it's because you show him love. So you can argue your way, you know, all you want. But the moment you start showing love, you start showing Christ.
Exactly.
And it, that's it. That's
and
it.
When he's open to talking about it, he'll talk
he's
to
now,
you.
Now, like before, when you would pray, he would get up and leave, and he would have his family get up and leave. And now he's like, can you pray?
So
he's
possibility there.
Oh, it's always open. I'm like, Lord, I declare him delivered from the power of darkness.
Yes. Hey, it's slowly.
And you literally, but you call him into life.
Yes, that's good.
So we're going through Revelation, and it hit me on a different level of, we've just been going through stuff. So, and different Revelation, and I went to read it. This is Revelation 1, chapter 1, and it says, this is... American Amplified Version. So he says, this is the revelation of Christ, or Jesus Christ, his unveiling of the divine mysteries. God gave it to him to disclose, to make known to his bondservants certain things which must shortly take place. So he gave the revelation, the book of Revelation, to his bondservants, the ones that are about his father's kingdom, not their own kingdom. Did you all catch that?
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So, hearing his voice, especially in the last days, we'll say that, you really have to die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, not my kingdom, not my family's kingdom, not any of that. Lord, your kingdom. What is it that you have on your agenda? And especially with this, like, you know, we started off urgency. There's urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Our king is coming. There, you know, if he's not going to use you, he's going to use a rock.
Mm.
But I hope he uses you. Okay? So at the end of the day, my thing in my heart is like, Lord, use me. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be, you know, whatever that looks like. And believe me, dying to yourself is not easy. But on a daily thing, and he's like, the more you die to you, the more you will hear his voice, the more you will do his will and bring glory to God, and his kingdom comes.
Because, a lot of times we try to, like, build our flesh. We're supposed to crucify it, but, like, we build it and
but it hit me in a different way because I'm like, this was literally written to people who actually have to die to themselves in a way that's different. You know what I mean? There's a different level. There's a different level. And it's not a thing unto salvation. I understand that you can be saved and come in, but didn't accomplish what needed to be done.
And being a bondservant, it's like such a trust.
Yes.
Like, I trust
yes.
you so much with my life. You get to choose my spouse.
Yes.
But then you, like, but you, like, I give you my all, but I trust that you will be good to me.
Yes.
But, and I know in some translations, the word faith is translated as trust.
Yes.
Right.
Mm. And it's impossible to please God without faith.
Yes.
That's so nice. So nice what you share. Appreciate that. And but what I got from that is basically what led me to seek God, read the Bible. Okay, because basically what you were saying, you're doing all that because you love God.
Yes.
You've learned to fall
yes.
in love with Him, right?
Yes.
And so me, I grew up like, and I didn't really like myself. In fact, I hated myself. I mean, I had an inferiority complex. I was rejected a lot. I was molested as a child. And so I was growing
and
up.
And he was a preacher's kid.
I was a preacher's kid. And so I was around a lot of religion and legalism,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But then I saw in the Bible, I heard somewhere, there's a verse that says, God perfectly loves me.
Yes.
Wow, He perfectly loves me. And you know what? I thought, well, you know, that's what I'm really looking for. We're all looking for that.
Yes.
All looking for that unfailing love. What a person desires is unfailing love, right? It says in the Bible. And so I said, you know what? You know, I'm really turned off by God and everything, religion, whatever. But I'm going to check this out to see if that's true, because I'm really looking for perfect love. Mm-hmm. All right? And so I searched and I searched and I searched and I got to know Jesus more and everything. And I saw that He did love me perfectly, which means unconditionally.
Yes.
All right. Loved me just the way I was, as messed up as I was, all the crazy things I was doing. And so I loved Him. You know, I fell in love with Him more and more. And then, you know, because, you know, when you think about it, and we're not talking about pride, but what's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind.
Yes.
All right. This is the foremost commandment. Second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. So what it's saying there, we are to love ourselves. Not from ego, not from pride. That's not love. But from receiving God's perfect love. We love because He first loved us. And that's just as important as loving the Lord our God with all our hearts. Because we can't love Him if we don't love ourselves. We can't love other people. We can't love our neighbors if we don't love ourselves, right? With His perfect love. We're just vessels flowing out, right? Of that love. So as I got filled with that love more and more, you know, that makes me want a man just every day spend time with him and fall in love with him more, because there's no depth to his love. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah, and he asks God every day, what do you want me to do today?
Yes.
That's before the ice cream part.
You know, he likes to give us pleasures of our, you know, I've asked him things that are certainly not, you know, I guess in
he likes to give gifts to
yeah,
his children.
Right.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
He loves to give gifts. He loves to, you know, surprise us with stuff. And so God is. But I think even more to just to add on to what you said, the more, you know, love your God, you know, with everything. And the more you love God with everything, the more you see who you are in Him.
Yeah.
And then you love what He's created. So I think then you see your
That's
true
right.
identity. And then so, and when you see your identity that way and you love what He's done, right, you can truly love others.
Right.
And so it literally, it goes back to loving Him completely
right.
with everything. And so it also goes back to that surrendering all unto Him.
We had a friend share with us of how, like, it's in our mind, it's like three cogs that are just, they are all interconnected. So if you twist one, it twists all the others. You know how, like, the when you twist this one, it twists this one and it turns. And he said the three ones are your how you view God, how you view yourself, and how you view the world. So if you see God as a master, you will always see yourself as a servant.
Yes.
And that's all you're going to see. And then when you see yourself as a servant based on works, you see the world as is going to hell in a hell basket because they're not doing good, they're doing evil. So as you shift, and it's all interconnected. So whether you start getting to know God more first, or starting to know your identity in Him first, or like getting to know how much He loves you, whichever one it is first. But once any of those cogs start shifting, it starts shifting the other atmosphere. So once I start getting to know, oh my goodness, God loves me even as I am right now. He thinks I'm beautiful. He has given me everything.
Yes.
He just keeps loving on me. I start seeing God as a loving Father, not just my master. Then I start seeing the world as not hopeless. At first, I start seeing myself as worthy of love. Then I start seeing the people around me as worthy of love.
Right.
And it's all so interconnected.
That's
so
good.
Whichever method it is that comes to you first it is maybe getting to know God first to be able to get to know who you are and that He loves you. Or it's maybe to get to know your value, and then you start seeing the God. But whatever it is, but it starts shifting all the cogs in your life. So whatever it is,
That's
getting
great.
To know Him or who you are in Him, and it's going to lead you to getting to know. And the more time you spend with someone, the more time you get to know who they really are.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's the biggest thing.
That's
is
good.
I was like, I need to know. I mean, I've known of God all my life.
Mm.
but that was all through people's experiences and through
right.
what happened to them and how they perceived why it happened. That's all I've known of God. And so I had to take a moment of like, let me scratch all that, because I don't know who you are. I only know what people told me of you. I know God as much as I know my neighbor that I've only watched from the side, but I've never come up to her and actually talked to her. I know my neighbor, she likes to go shopping on Thursdays. On Tuesdays, she gets her hair done because it's always perfect. She loves Dollar Tree because I see these things of her, but I don't know her heart. I don't know her because I never came up and talked to her. Right. The only way you get to know him is when you actually talk to him, not talk about him or listen about him.
Right.
Is when you go and talk to him, hey, I don't get this. My world shifted when I just stopped and I said, you know what, God? I don't get you. I've tried and I feel like I'm the Israelites. I try, I do good, and then you bless me, and then I stray away from you, and then it all falls to pieces, and then I'm depressed, and I'm crying out to you. And I've been doing this for too many years, and I'm done with this. And if this is who God is, I don't want it. And then it was a moment where it shifted. I was like, okay, God, if you really are, show me. And he is so good at showing you who he is. And that's when that journey began of him like doing something. I'm like, wait a minute. That could not have been a coincidence. That was not a coincidence. That was God in that moment. Right. That was God in this moment. And then he starts speaking, and I was like, no, that can't be. That can't be true. And he says it again. That can't be true. I'm Yulia. I'm a failure. And he says it again. And he says it again. And then I learned more about myself, and it started shifting my view of him. And then it started shifting the view of me. And then I was like, oh my goodness, he's so good.
Yeah.
And the word good became so, like, I don't know, the meaningful, like, good. You don't understand how good. Like, good. No, I'm saying he's good. Like, good, good.
Right?
And because he was so good, I was like, I want to spend time with this person because he makes me feel good. And
there
we go. And he talks to me. So it's all so intertwined. So just,
right.
It starts with just, like, you guys all said this in some way or form, but, like, you just came to a point where, like, God, show me.
Right.
And then it becomes personal.
Right.
And then he speaks to you, and you're like, oh, he speaks to me. Like, not to my pastor, but to me.
Right.
And so beautiful. And he's such a good God. Good Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've been reading The Fourth Dimension by Yonggi Cho.
Oh, that's good.
Over a period of many years, little by little.
Chewing it up.
But, getting to the end.
Yeah.
I like how he, I suppose as an Asian person, you have to have an address for God. So he was talking about this and this, but what he came to is that we carry the fullness of God. And that was a revelation, like, for me, because so we carry God's provision in me. And he gave an example. He's like, every time their church needed to do something and it had to do with money, they're like, well, let's talk to the missionaries. And missionaries are usually from US or from, you know, some other countries that got money, or like Finland and so on. And he's like, but that's not right. We carry the provision in us. We carry the fullness of God in us.
Amen.
And he said, we need to figure this out and so on. And then as a result, he said, they've built so many things, you can read about them. And he said that he didn't really ask for money. He didn't go to, he said, I went to US like 50 times and I never asked for money. But okay, so that's provision. But what about other stuff? What about wisdom? What about guidance? What about, I mean, the fullness? What about joy? What about not being lost in life? What about, like, all these things? We carry all these things. And then we can talk about gifts and actions and activities and you know, helping people in ways that we, as Paul says, not bring wisdom and wise words and clever approaches, but bring God, just his power. But we carry that already in us. And practically, that's something that each of us have to figure out. What does that even mean, that I carry God, the fullness of God in me? And we don't receive, I like this one lady give an example. Where is the Holy Spirit? And where is our spirit? Our spirit, I'll shorten it, is in every cell of my body. Every cell of my living body. Right. You know, if my fingernail or something, you cut it off, my spirit is not there anymore. It just dies. That's it. You can put it back, whatever. It doesn't work. So she said, Holy Spirit, in the same way, is in every living cell of Jesus' body.
Hallelujah.
So there is the fullness. It's not just pieces or bits or, you know, you get, you know, one 8.5 billionth and then you get, you know, whatever. Okay. So we get the full. So if we get the fullness of Holy Spirit, then what does the fullness look like? The fullness looks just like fullness, nothing else. You know, so everything that's in there. And actually, I think this is probably an appropriate time. So Yonggi Cho has this tabernacle prayer, right? And I recommend, link down below, whatever. I recommend, so what it is, no, you can, you guys can discover it on your own, but there are like, it's his many hours prayer. And like there is a one that's table of shewbread. And he says that, for example, the word of God, you know, coming back to the word of God. Thank you for your logos word, written word, and rhema word, the one that you feed, the daily bread. Thank you for all the 7,000 plus promises of God that are written in scripture. But the logos is written and it's potentially mine, but not necessarily practically mine today. Peter never walked on water by reading about Israelites crossing the sea. He requested Jesus to give a command to walk. And then Peter answered, and Lord, you can go. And then he did, and he walked. So a specific Rima word was given to Peter, but no other disciple used it. You know? So this is another daily bread. Give us this daily bread. Give us this daily revelation. And how do we seek it? If I don't know the answer, I seek it. In our world, I go to Papa, I go to him, I go to her, I go to him, I go. I call people, I do this, I do this, I do this. I seek the word, I find ways. I have a list of people that I call about real estate questions or something and so on and on. So we have to seek. Maybe there is this part that's laziness in us where we just, you know, I need an answer from God, but it's easier to call someone. Instead of just stand on your knees, open the Bible and stand on your knees for half an hour. Without doing anything,
right.
You know, and the person that's done it knows that it makes sense. The person that hasn't done it, that's weird. That's pointless. You know, so we just have to do it. The Bible is potentially mine. Mm. The promises are potentially mine. They're not mine. I cannot say the battle is the Lord's and he fights it. And we are trying to gain this new client in our business and the battle is the Lord's. We have to do our work. We have to research in this and this and this. So when the child, you know, when the child is misbehaving or something is chronically strange or something, you know, with some relationship or whatever, we can't come to God and just to the Bible and read God, but there is this. We have to bring it to God and say, God, how do I use this? What do I do with this? Like that same Yonggi Cho, cooked rice, uncooked rice. All of it is raw rice. Don't overeat raw rice, you know? Mm. It's not good for you. Don't even eat raw rice. Bring everything to God. Have him, the Holy Spirit, have him cook it. Have him, have you and him process it so you can apply it to your life and so on. And this, why I'm saying this. Coming back to the Bible is the center. The Bible is just the center. And I remember the decision, I made the decision to follow the Bible because I was looking for a foundation in my life. I looked at some religions, I looked at this and some holy scriptures of all these, you know, Quran and some other things and so on. I never read them, but like, I'm like, okay, this, which one do I choose? And it was like a clear choice. Choose Bible as your foundation. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning. It was easy for me because I was a Christian, sure. But once you make that decision, all of a sudden you seek in it. And once mm-hmm. you upload, actually from the last conversation, God did not speak to me through Hebrews, through book of Hebrews. Once I studied the book of Hebrews, once I spent time in it, mm-hmm. God started speaking to me through the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. So we need to study it. We need to understand. For those people that don't read the Bible and they just don't understand that there are the answers there. They've heard this. They've heard this many times. There are answers in the Bible. There are, but how do I find them and all that? You find them by uploading the Bible into your spirit, I don't know, into your soul, probably into your soul. But you read it, you listen to it. And again, you read it. You don't just listen to it, you read it. Mm. When you read, you pause, you get stuck on the word and so on. When you listen, you got stuck on the word and he was already 10 verses past you, you know? So I just want to encourage, I wanted to kind of share maybe, you know, our journey into how we got into reading Bible, but maybe let's end it here. Well, for a couple of reasons, because it's been over 2 hours. And actually, yeah, this is a good time. What do we want to do? It's 8:38. Maybe... through that door.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I agree.
Maybe, you know what?
That was fast.
And I like this. I like today. I really like today. And I'm happy that I wasn't, or somebody was not like... the dominator, you know. So that's good. But to finish off, maybe we could do this. As Yulia, Dima, you know, you guys said that I just got this, you know. That is revelation. One of elements of the vision of this podcast, whatever you want to call it, is that I am a little antenna, and every one of us is. And the bandwidth, my bandwidth, my wire is thin. But when there's 10 of us, the wire is not 10 times 10. It's 100 times. You know, we feed off each other. And so if you've got some kind of a revelation here, something that you're taking with you, and maybe something that we didn't discuss already in detail, but something you know, it's something that you're taking with you, maybe let's share some of that. Or something that like, again, in the last couple of days, and very short, because, let's say, next 15 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. So, a couple of minutes, just if you've got something that you see, let's share that. And we'll end there, I think. Yeah? If there is something.
No, what your sister shared, I didn't get your name, but about...
Yulia.
Yulia, how you shared. I can describe to you my mom's voice.
Yeah, that's so good.
That was so
good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really good at it.
I wrote it down in my notes.
I wrote that down.
Actually, prophets sometimes prophesy to themselves, and then they sit there and analyze, and you know,
yeah. And then
and that's how you begin, actually. But that's a different subject. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that haven't said much, like Vitalik, you've said something, but very little. What's been in your life? I mean, have you been not running on low reserve? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, so clarify a little bit what you're...
Just something that you know, it's a spontaneous thought that you know came from God, and it's something that you are taking with you, either during this or maybe in the last week or two, you know?
Definitely a thing that we barely touched upon it. We spoke a lot about thoughts,
mm-hmm.
But we touched upon peace and
mm-hmm.
how the peace is kind of your guide also, right?
Yeah.
I've been practicing or like trying to pay attention to not just my thoughts. I've been paying attention to my thoughts for a long time, but more recently I started to pay attention more like to my feelings. Like I know my baseline, my feelings, my emotions, what's going on throughout the day, and things that are just kind of like either try to invade or like come up or come down, either way you want to explain it, and I'm trying to analyze that also. So
mm-hmm.
like I already know what's happening, like how to deal with my thoughts, what's going on, and then whenever I'm trying to do things, trying to make a decision or trying to do something, I'm also paying attention to the emotional state of my being, you could say, yeah, to the peace. And very often, I could describe the peace as like just calm. You're just going through and there's nothing, like the boat is not shaking. When you're trying, you're like, okay, I'm deciding to do this, I'm about to do this, or I'm about to say this, or I'm about to choose. Peace, awesome, I'm just going with it. But
mm-hmm.
oftentimes, like even though it's something good or I think it's good, I'm trying to either say it or do it, and then there's like, in the moment, there's like almost like a loss of peace, or like maybe a little bit of anxiety, or how you can describe it, this kind of a loss of peace. And I learn to stop and not go through with doing what I
mm-hmm.
think might be good, because I learned that even though from my perspective it was good, the peace was gone. In that moment, my good was not actually good for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned to
mm-hmm.
kind of navigate in that also.
Through practice.
And so, yeah.
Something about that's peace. God has been speaking to me about deception in the last maybe year. And there is such a thing as false peace. And one of the reasons why I think we can get false peace is when we don't know. When, I don't know if you guys remember that illustration, here's our spirit, our body, and our soul is somewhere between. And if we are too far from our spirit, if we're too far from hearing God, we may have a false sense of peace. That's something to think about, to pray about. But deception does come to people that are truly God followers, it seems like.
But can you call it peace, or is it more you're oblivious?
False peace. maybe oblivion is
more
the...
More like a seared conscience?
No, seared
like
conscience is a very, very strong thing.
A hard thing. Okay.
I think his word is right. Oblivion. Maybe we sometimes confuse oblivion,
yeah,
ignorance for peace. So I know that in Christian realm or world, we use peace as confirmation that God is speaking to me and I'm going in the right direction. But it's just something that God has been speaking to me, that peace is not the only confirmation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be combined with other things. You have to see other things, because there is a false sense of peace. And it's mentioned in the Bible a few times. And even the thing is lack of knowledge. People perish. Deception is going to be rampant in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know what causes deception in our lives. Very important. In our kids' lives, in our friends' lives, in our sphere of influence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Deception is something that we need to counter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's something we need to be aware of. Let's even put it this way. It's something we need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not trying to say, you know,
no,
it's
no,
just
I,
a
mm-hmm.
thought that prompted when you
yeah.
you started talking about peace. All right.
Okay. I'm gonna go off with something what you said and something that God's been saying to me. You were talking about how what you focus on is what you're gonna tend to go towards. You're gonna
attract
what you focus on. If you they say this in pilot school as well. If you're training, say don't hit that tower. You're gonna definitely hit that tower if you're gonna look at it. same thing. So what God has been telling me is study more of who I am and starting more of like who God says I am.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be able to, because I kept like, don't sin, don't mess up, Yulia, don't gossip, don't do this. And if I kept focusing on that, then I kept doing it. I kept stumbling. I kept falling, and I kept feeling shame and guilt and condemnation. And then, but God says, and in James it says also, 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This is the verse that I like. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the mirror. But 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And what this verse is teaching me, that if I study what God says about me every single day, I won't forget who I am. That's what the word of God is. It's reminding me who I am, because I wake up sometimes yesterday I was going to this ministry thing and we had to do this thing for an hour, and I'm like, I've never done this for an hour. Like, how am I going to go through this? And so on my way there, I had to remind myself, I'm like, I have the mind of Christ. God has given me everything I need. God has given me every spiritual blessing. The Holy Spirit is inside of me, the same spirit there is Jesus. And I'm driving there and I'm reminding myself who I am. And I came there, and it's like an hour flew by. I'm like, what, we're done? Like, I've never done this before. And it was so beautiful. And that was because...
Curious what it is.
And so what I've been learning is, like, keep my focus on who I am. And knowing more of who I am, I walk in righteousness. I put on the robe of righteousness every day. I walk in purity. I am pure before the Lord. I am blameless. I've been given every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
I am blessed. My children are blessed. So if I remind myself more of this, then I walk out more. And then when other things do come, distractions, shame, guilt, condemnation, even temptation along, you're like, but that's not who I am.
And especially that this is your creator who's speaking to
you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because he made you.
Mm-hmm.
Because enemy, he's a liar and father of all lies. There's no truth in him,
yeah.
you know? he twists it and pretends and all that. So yeah, creator. Yeah.
So my focus has been like learning who I am and focusing on who I am, not who I'm not or shouldn't be.
Yeah,
that's been my focus. Yeah. Like what you want to be.
Similar what I've been going through, maybe like last month or maybe a little bit more. You get hurt by other people and you're like, oh, they're making mistakes, or somebody not that mistreated you, but like deceived you in a certain way, right? And you're like, ah. And then so you kind of have like a grudges or whatever on different people. And then lately I was like, wait, forget about them. That's their problem. They're making a mistake and whatever they're doing. I need to be make sure I'm better on that. And so you need to focus not on like somebody else's fault or kind of like playing the victim card. Oh, I'm the victim. It's like, and you get over that. Like put yourself in the right path and focus on what's right rather than staying beat up and like, you know, like, so. Yeah. And it wasn't like anything biblical. It was just like relationships with people. And I'm like, okay, I need to be the bigger man. I need to just be like.
And that shows character. That shows growth. That shows maturity. So those are great steps. Great steps.
I actually also what Vladimir said about focusing on the rock, you know, because that seems like a good thing, you know, I don't want to hit that rock, so you focus on it, I don't want to hit it, and you focus on it, and it encouraged me because it reminded me of my father, who is passed, but anyway, my grandfather, was an alcoholic, and so my father, I heard him say this all the time, I will never be an alcoholic like my father. I will never be. For years he said that until he became an alcoholic. Because he was focusing on what not to do. But that reminds me all the time, as a believer, like you said, we don't focus on what we shouldn't do. We focus on what God is speaking to us to do. Right. And a lot of times, recently, I have noticed there was something that I think God was asking me to do. So I journaled, and I came up with, and then, no, you don't have to do that. But then God spoke to me, and he says, you said no because I asked you to do something that you're going to have to trust me for. And I asked you to do something that's not easy, but it's something that you can trust me for. And that is my comment.
Yeah, that's so good.
You mentioned, I learned something, the way our mind works, if I say, everybody imagine a pink elephant.
Right.
And now stop thinking about it. You can't, it's not possible.
I'm not thinking about it.
What's interesting?
What is that, Mr.?
No, imagine a pink elephant.
Okay, all right.
And now, don't think about it.
Right.
What's interesting is when I stop thinking, I get distracted. My mind has this mechanism that checks, am I still doing it? And we come back to it. What I got for me from that is if I'm actively trying to get rid of something, or if I'm actively trying to work on something or whatever, and it's something that's actually distracting, like for example, there was a period of time where when I would hear bad words in my head, you know, and I don't think it was something demonic. It was just something that I've read, I've watched movies and so on and so on. And I'm like, mind, think about this. And because my mind is trying to repeat some, or trying to check, am I still thinking or not still, what I understood is I can't overcome this like this. I have to try different strategy. And for example, when you fill your head with word of God, or when you feel you're just busy with something else, and you are busy and full of something else for some time, that mechanism turns off and it doesn't check anymore, it doesn't remind you anymore, and so on. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
So it's, you could say that it's a way to distract your mind, but yes, you have to distract your from that law, you know. So when you're trying to actively get rid of something, it's a way to do it. Because I was praying, God, how do I get rid of it? So we have to, and that's the Timothy thing. It sounds very good in Russian. Вникай в себя и в учение. In English, study yourself and the Bible. I don't know what, in English it doesn't sound like this, but study yourself and study the Bible. And study yourself is even first there, you know? I don't know the reference, but it will be in the video. But we have to understand, like you said, I need to study my emotions. I need to do this. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. We have to understand ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We must. We must understand what ticks us off and all this other
mm-hmm.
stuff. So I can, you know.
And that goes to character, because that's how you develop character. That's how, one of the biggest things we are here to do is develop Christ-likeness. That's one of our
yep.
goals, right? To become divine nature.
Yeah.
To become like Christ. Walk in the fullness of God. And that only becomes when we become like him. So it is important to study ourselves, because
yeah.
we, you know, like, I need to become more patient, or I need to, like, I'm reading the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and that's really addressing, like, you can't grow as much spiritually more than the level of your emotional as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes hand in hand, because we're spiritual beings, but we have emotions, and we have, you know, spiritual, now I'm learning as well, spiritual emotions, but that all goes hand in hand, and we're trying to become more like Christ. So it's so important for us to dig into ourselves as well.
And you have to be really honest with yourself.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
Because if you're not, you just close your eyes and whatever, this is not happening, you just
right.
become gone.
It's a vulnerable
right.
thing.
Yeah, you can't
it's a very vulnerable
thing.
You
can't
yes.
come up to, can't come to the source that can help
mm-hmm.
you with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Deny yourself. There is no denial in denial yourself. You can't. All right. Anybody else?
I had a revelation that kind of just hit me. Probably like a month and a half, 2 months ago. And one of the names of God is I Am. He revealed himself as the I Am. So anytime you say something like I Am and you say something negative, you're literally actually using God's name in vain. He created you in his image.
That's good.
And,
that's good.
And so he did not make you like that, because you're created in God's image.
Yeah.
That's good.
So you actually go against God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then it goes back to also, because it's like a twofold, it also goes back to him, you know, when he spoke things into existence, we speak things.
Yes.
Words have power.
Yes.
And so to
yes.
be cautious of what you say about yourself.
Yeah.
Is
right.
it, does it align
mm-hmm.
with the word?
Amen.
So there, that align
mm-hmm.
is just.
Wow.
I had someone
That's
share
good.
This with me recently, blessing and cursing. A blessing is you speaking out of your mouth anything that you want to see come to pass over a person, place, or thing. A curse is you releasing out of your mouth something you don't want to see, but you're releasing it, what you don't want to see, but you're releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to come to pass over the person, place, or thing. So they're talking about, like, if you complaining, like, I'm tired, I'm always tired. You are cursing yourself to be tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the power of your words, there is power in that. So you are speaking out a curse over yourself constantly. So, like, I was constantly say, like, I'm so forgetful. And I would always say that. I'm so forgetful. I forget. Oh, I'm so forgetful. My husband was like, why do you keep saying that? Stop saying that.
Mm.
Right.
I was like, you're right. Like, I'm never going to get better in my
mm-hmm.
mind if
right.
I keep saying, if I curse myself that I'm a forgetful person.
Right.
So I had to recant it every time. We talked about recanting,
mm-hmm.
right? So literally, I'd be like, oh, I was at a store, in a restaurant, I bought something, I left my wallet, and I walked away, and I was like, oh, I'm such a forgetful person. And then I know I have to recant that,
yeah.
and I have to do it out loud. So
yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not a forgetful person. I have the mind of Christ, and I walk away.
Right.
And then people were like, you're a weirdo.
Yes.
Like, but I had to
do
that to myself because I can't curse myself no longer like
right.
that. I can't.
Good.
So if you're saying, my children are blank, you are speaking what you want to see or don't want to see over your children. It's
right.
going to come to pass
yes.
because you're speaking it.
Right.
My
right.
business is blank. My
right.
neighbor is blank. They're going to continue being that blank
right.
because you are speaking that over them.
Right.
And so there's such power in the blessing, cursing
mm-hmm.
aspect
wow.
of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we have something ready to change in our life. And I'm so happy that the disciples of Jesus, they said, even sickness and the demons are subject to us,
mm-hmm.
so we have to deal in our lives. Sometimes I see long time ago it bothering me, it's not right in my life,
mm-hmm.
so then I just push on it with the name of the Lord. It's not mine. I need to be like Christ. I need to look otherwise according Bible, and I'm glad it pushes
mm-hmm.
back it. Runs away.
Yes.
So
it says, resist the devil.
Yeah,
yes.
that's a
yes.
an active
an
action,
intentional,
intense
yes.
action. Yes.
Action. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When you're talking about words, I remember this vividly, this example, when I was trading and I lost a very big amount of money one day, and out loud I called myself something like dumb, mm-hmm. but a very strong bad word, and I remember that it was all okay, just money lost, until that moment. And after that moment, I felt like Holy Spirit said, Bogdan, you sinned against me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was such a strong conviction that, Bogdan, you've done something so bad just now. Mm. And I just called myself, no, mm-hmm. something that's bad, worse than dumb. And I repented, and I remembered, like, mm. it was you could feel it. It was a tangible something that happened as soon as I called mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. And it was like a curse word. It was a bad word.
Yeah.
And so when I say, you know, I'm slow or I'm forgetful or this, mm-hmm. these are like softer words. Mm-hmm. And sure, they may have a smaller effect, but I saw the big effect of a bad mm-hmm. word. But, you know, death by a thousand mm-hmm. needles or whatever, a thousand cuts or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still death, you yeah. know, and it's possibly worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Torture, but it's huge. And that example, like, if I say, Vova, can you close the door? He's just no. If I actually, could you close the door? No, he's gonna look. He's gonna ask, and so on. But that phrase is gonna hang on him until he does something. That's the power of words. It's something that happens when I say it. It just happens. There's weight to it, and so on. Yes, the yeah. words are just.
You guys have dogs. Yeah.
Huh?
Anybody has a dog?
Yes.
I know you have one in your truck.
The power of words. And I was just at my brother-in-law's house, and he's like, so if you leave some food, is he going to take it? I was like, not my food. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, and so I left a plate right in front of him on like a little table, huh. like a lawn table, right in front of him at his height, and there's a hot dog. And then I walked around the house, and I stood around the house for maybe like 5 minutes. And then I walked out, and my dog is standing right in front of it.
Drooling.
Looking at me. But he can't touch it. It's, you know, it's mine. It's power of words. I was like, because he knows it's mine. So right. I put it down there. And he wants it really, really bad, but he can't. So, like, what you're saying, it's over the dog. I tell him, sit. And he'll walk around in circles and circles, and he doesn't want to. And then eventually he's like, I have to. You know.
But isn't that what prayer is? Like, you mm-hmm. take the thoughts of God and you like speak him out into this universe. Mm. It's like I always imagine like our words being like bubbles. Once they leave your mouth, they will always hang in the air.
Mm.
So even people who have passed, the words they have spoken, they are still creating. They're still here. They're still in existence. You know?
Yeah.
And that's why words are so powerful, because they like never leave. Once they're spoken, that bubble will forever float around and do what you commissioned it to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And your dog example, you have a nice dog, but
Demon
is not a nice dog.
No.
And he is sitting there drooling, waiting for you to say something.
For
that
permission.
Will give him permission, legal access to do something, to at least get his paw into your life or something, you know?
And I had this thought yesterday. So the demonic world, or Satan, we know that they want to just wreak havoc on everything. They want to destroy, kill, and devour, but they don't, right?
Yeah.
You only see it in some pockets. Why? Clearly, they don't have, there's some kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's preventing them.
Mm-hmm.
So if
mm-hmm.
you're a Christian, then you're protected. And then if you are pronouncing words that are
don't
life-giving,
give place to the devil,
then
right.
you have that extra protection. If you give place to the devil,
mm-hmm.
you're allowing him to eat that hot dog,
mm-hmm.
and or worse, you know.
You.
Yeah, to eat you. So they want to destroy you, but
mm-hmm.
they can't, because there's something preventing them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in our authority. We have authority in Christ as children of God to release permission. Basically,
Nella, the lady we know, she said, quick example, she was, I guess she was on her husband for something, you know, we do that here and there, and as she was saying something, not you guys, and then, so she was kind of like, I guess, on his case, And then she does see like visions from God, and at that moment she had this vision that like her property, and then this, I guess, demon creature thing is like waiting to jump in the property, right, to do something. When she's seen that, she's like, I'm sorry, there was, you know, she's like, she cut it off, you know, no permission whatsoever.
Yeah, they're ready. They're like, let's see what I can
but
do.
But it's at your command.
Right. She chose, right.
Because
you're a child of God.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you have dominion, exactly.
But on the nicer side,
right, there's a
let's not end
side.
There. But the blessing works, it seems, in the same way.
Right.
For some reason, God gave us this power to bless. If I bless my sister or bless my brother, there is an extra, like when a father would bless his firstborn. Everything, whatever is out there in the spiritual world, is waiting for the father to bless his oldest son. And that's when things start. Like Abraham, not Abraham, Jacob, he took his 12 and he blessed them. And that was a prophecy and all kinds of stuff into their life and so on. And he blessed some, and then he also said some negative things about some, you know. But the blessing, for some reason, it works the same way. So we have to be careful about being intentional in blessing. And to our Slavic to our Slavic roots, I would say that we don't bless our children as much as we unbless them. You know what I mean? I like that we have changed a lot of it in our, you know, and even like I'm looking at Papa. Papa is the Slavic culture for me. There has been so many changes just in blessing, just in encouragement and all that. But we need to do it. So it's the same way. For some reason, God made it this way. That another little tiny example. If you are generous, and your generosity can be, you know, a little spoon for you and a little spoon for you, and then God goes to his heaven, takes all these treasures, takes your spoon, and then just, and then shakes it down and like presses it more, and then just puts it in your lap. Is that what you want? You want a spoon? Or do you want a container, you know? you want a container to be shaken down and all that? So, but
are you taking an offering?
Oh. That would be a perfect way to end, eh? No.
The measure that you measure with will be measured on
the right. Is that what you're getting at?
And on that note, where's my hat?
but a really, really quick thing about blessing, the older brother of the prodigal son, he came complaining to the father, I've served you, you didn't even give me a goat. He's like, you didn't ask.
The
so
goats
he's complaining,
have been
the goats
are
there.
Yeah.
So people need to know that they have access to the blessings.
That's
you can
right.
literally
That's
not
good.
Know that you can ask and not receive.
That's
you
right.
don't have because you don't ask.
That's right.
James
That's right.
says
That's
that.
That's
so
right.
That's good.
So you have to know, and then faith comes through word, and then you act on it.
So we were talking about blessings, and this is something that like I have been kind of spinning in my mind about why we're commanded to pray and bless our food. There's something about when you speak a blessing over my over your food and say, food, you are blessed. And there's it like releases something into your food that when you eat it, it like does something to your body versus an original plate that you didn't bless. So there's something about our words that will like radioactivize our food to be more.
It makes it organic.
Partake of that food. Okay, so like if you partake of something and it's not blessed, it like the earth, right? So okay, this just came to me. This is cool. So when God, like when Adam sinned, like you know, like this was his consequence, stuff like that. But the earth was blessed. It like gave forth of itself to him. But then whenever said, no, now the earth will no, like when Cain sinned, the earth will no longer produce for you. And he was like, no. Oh, that's like,
yeah, he saw the difference.
That was massive. Yeah. So when you say food, you are blessed. It will like produce for you. Versus like a plateful that you haven't blessed. It will like, you will consume it, but it won't produce for you.
And now we
that's
have the
good.
Authority to,
that,
to speak blessings.
Bless my food for you.
Obedience brings blessings.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like it will. So I mean, that's how we pray for our food. Father, we thank you for this food. I thank you that you bless our food and our water, and you take sickness and disease out of it, out of our midst.
Yeah.
Food, you are blessed.
Yes.
And then we like
there
eat
we
it. Like
in the name of Jesus, now.
Yes. But like it's like you thank him for it, and then you bless it. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're supposed to say other than you're blessed, and then you bless it, and I'm like, it, now will produce for me.
I like the Eastern culture. You know, half an hour. Natasha, the daughter of so and so, may your ancestors be blessed and your flock be blessed and always be blessed. And it's very
awesome.
Nice. You just bless each other.
Yeah, right.
Coverage and
just so we know.
Loading.
So, all right. Well, that's a very good note to end things on.
Yes.
I liked it.
Be blessed.
Everything.
Be blessed.
Be fruitful and multiply
Amen.
That. Like,
Amen.
Produce. Be blessed.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn off the camera.